God's word shall, his purpose shall be accomplished. God's word will prevail. Why don't you go with me, please? Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Beginning to read at verse 6, please, to the end of the chapter. My message, the Lord's word shall prevail. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. My God, we thank you for your precious word. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes it life to us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you come upon me this morning that I may be delivered the word in truth and righteousness. Give us clean ears, clean hearts, that there be no part dark, that we may receive the word in life. God, we are looking to be changed. We are wanting to be changed more and more into the image of our blessed Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we magnify you in this service. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we give you our lives. We give you our all. And we thank you, Lord, that under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can hear and receive and know the word and be changed and transformed by it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, let me prove to you, first of all, that Jesus Christ is the word that Isaiah is talking about. He's talking about the word prevailing, the word that comes out of his mouth. Out of the mouth of God, his own son was formed out of his mouth. This is all about Jesus Christ. This is Isaiah prophesying to what Christ would accomplish when he came to earth. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, John 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and I beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and faith. Case closed. The Word is Christ, who was made flesh and came and dwelt among us. And Isaiah is prophesying here that he would not ascend back to the Father without accomplishing the mission for which God sent him. He sent him to redeem the world. He sent him to break the chains of darkness, set captives free. And Isaiah said, when he comes, he will accomplish what the Father has sent him to do. And he says, when he goes, the trees will begin to clap their hands. Where there's been waste and briars and thorns, there shall come up a spirit of life, and everything will come to life. He will be led forth in peace. He's not going out with an empty mission. He will go to the Father, Isaiah said, having accomplished the perfect will of the Father. He will do all. The word shall not fail. It shall accomplish. Jesus shall accomplish everything the Father sent him to do. He will go out with joy, led forth with peace, mountains and hills breaking forth into singing, the trees clapping their hands. And furthermore, he's not going to leave behind a mess. He's not going to leave behind confusion. He's not going to be leaving any disorder behind. Everything will be in divine order. He will have conquered. He would have put the devil to shame. He would have broken his power, and he's going to ascend to the Father, having completely finished it, and said, "It is finished. I have accomplished the will of God." The word, I am not returning with a void word, mean an empty word, unaccomplished word. I have accomplished the mission. Glory be to God, the work is finished and done. This is all about Christ, the living word. And the Bible says, Isaiah said, "And it shall be to him, be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." He said, when he returns, he's not returning to the Father with a void word, but he will be given a name of renown. And folks, that is exactly the Christ we worship, the name above all names, a name of renown, a name whereby no one can be saved except by believing in it. Hallelujah. He was given a name of renown because he accomplished the Father's will. A name that will never lose its power. Isaiah prophesied, he said, when he comes to accomplish the will of God, he will water the earth and make life spring forth. He may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He said, just as sure you see the rain fall and the snow fall, you will never see it return. Has anybody seen snow going this way? Have you ever seen rain going this way? No, he said, when it comes, it's going to accomplish its purpose. It's not going to be void. It's not going to be empty. The will of God shall be accomplished. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, when we begin to understand it and lay hold of it, understand more and more the finished work of the cross. Now, you see, in him was life. And yet when he came, those he loved the most rejected him. He came in one of the darkest hours in world history. He did not come to a quiet, sedate, respectful society. He came in one of the darkest hours. The church had become a den of thieves, as you remember. Ministers and priests robbed and cheated their own parents and families. Prophets gave words only for a price. The poor were despised. Wages were kept back by the rich from those who deserved their daily pay. The Bible said laborers were cheated of their wages and all of society became covetous. Scripture says that very clearly when you read the history of the time period in which Christ came, the church had no voice. It was not respected because the priests had become as whited sepulchers, cheating and robbing and selling. Scripture makes it clear that children rose up against their parents. The Roman culture had spewed out of Rome and had defiled all of the Holy Land. Homosexuality that came out of Europe and out of Roman Empire, homosexuality, blatant homosexuality, just as we see it today. Think, in the midst of this darkness, how small the witness was. Think of Christ and his disciples, uneducated men. Think of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Think of those few that ministered unto him. Think of those in the temple, Zacharias, and those who waited for the Messiah to see him. Think of just this handful in the midst of this society that's growing dark and falling into gross darkness. And you see how small the witness seems to be. It doesn't seem that the word of God is prevailing at all. Because you see, Jesus did not prevail over the world power of the time, not over Rome, not over the priesthood. He didn't prevail over the priesthood. The temple denied him. They rejected him. They took him to a hillside, ready to throw him over the cliff, and he had to escape. It doesn't look like much of a prevailing word at that time. Such a small, insignificant Jesus people. And sometimes we look at our society and we see how the enemy is demoralizing and defiling on every side. It seems like the forces of the enemy are so vast compared to this small body of Jesus Christ still holding the witness. And you put it all together, it doesn't look like a prevailing Christ. And it ends up with this. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. And can you see and hear the demons of hell and the principalities and powers of darkness dancing and shouting at his grave, saying, "This is the prophecy of Isaiah." He was to be a living word spreading waters to all corners of the earth. This is how it ends. He's dead. He's gone. He did not accomplish the mission for which he was sent. It is written of him all through the Old Testament and all the prophets the devil was thinking. Written all through that, and I'm sure he's giving his little sermon to his principalities and powers. He's dead. He's gone. We have prevailed. He's not a living Christ. It's a dead Christ. And how they must have had a shouting time. But you see, there's the rest of the story. You know the rest of the story. Even Jesus' disciples forsook him. Peter and his friends went fishing back to their career. The saints in Jerusalem, that little motley crowd, were mourning in fear. The two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And here's Christ, God himself walking with them, resurrected. And they turned to him and said, "We thought he was the Christ, and he's dead." And it looks like Isaiah's prophecy has not been fulfilled. This prophecy that says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing which I sent it." It doesn't look like he's going out with joy and led forth with peace. Doesn't sound like the mountains and hills are breaking forth into singing and the trees are not clapping their hands. There seems to be nothing but thorns and briars. And then we come to this. Glory be to heaven. But God raised him from the dead. I said, God raised him from the dead. Now, Satan, what's that sound you hear? It sounds like thunder. It sounds like clapping. It sounds like singing. Yes, devil, that's a million upon millions of these from now till Jesus comes who have been prevailed upon. The chains are breaking and he has accomplished his purpose. And what you hear is the eternal sounds of a praising, clapping, singing people because Christ has prevailed. Satan, what's that sound you hear in that little upper room? Because you see, for 50 days, it's been nothing but silence. And no evangelism, and not a sound. The name of Jesus is not being repeated on the streets. And there's a little crowd in an upper room across the street from the house of Caiaphas, and they are waiting upon the Lord. But what's that sound you hear, devil? That's the mighty rushing wind of the Holy Ghost. And those are the waters springing up out of a million, million delivered souls, covering the face of the earth, just as prophesied by Isaiah. Satan, look at Mount Olivet. Look at the man, the crucified, resurrected Jesus. Look at the band of angels waiting. Glory to God. Devil, look at him. He's going up. You can't reach him anymore. You can't touch him anymore. You cannot stop his plan. It is finished. It's finished. It's finished. Let's bring it all down to the last days, the days in which you and I live. And folks, Sodom would blush at what we see and hear. The worst sinners of Sodom would blush. The worst homosexuals would blush at what we see and hear, those things that vex our nation. Just 55 years ago, I could not tell you what I'm going to tell you now. 55 years ago, when I was a teenager, our schools were the safest place in America. When I was a teenager, in fact, when I was in eighth, ninth grade, the worst sin was chewing gum, getting out of line. You'd go to the principal's office. Just 55 years ago, sex and homosexuality were words that were never used in public. The very thought of a homosexual ministry would have sent the Christian church mourning for a week. The thought of a homosexual church, of a homosexual bishop, you see, the name of God was respected even by sinners. Every courthouse had a motto on it, "In God we trust." And even in the judges' chambers and even in the courtroom itself. And they would have a Bible there and they would swear on this Bible because they still trusted the word of God. There was authority here yet. America was called a nation under God. America was known around the world as a missionary nation, as we sent devout missionaries to evangelize the whole world. And we were respected, a nation under God. It was under God, and the nation was proud of it. And I believe Satan's strategy was to strike at the nation under God, one nation under God. He was striking at the heart of the mission endeavor of Jesus Christ in the last day that would fulfill the eternal purposes prophesied by Isaiah. And so he comes now to this nation that has sent out missionaries, that has had revival after revival, and God keep probing and awakening so that the missionary flow is not hindered, and so the world is reached. And he comes now because he knows his time is short, and he says, "I will raise up my own missionaries, and I will put my pastors in many pulpits. They will come as angels of light. They will name the name of Jesus. They will preach Jesus, but it'll be another Jesus. They'll preach a gospel, and only those who discern will know the difference, and they will not be preaching the gospel of Christ, but the gospel of flesh and the gospel of man. I will not only start my own churches and put my men in, I'm going to make bishops out of them. I'm going to shake and startle the whole world at what I am going to be able to accomplish in deception." Because you see, he's waging the mother of all wars, spiritual war. It's something beyond you and I, something you and I cannot touch, cannot understand, and cannot stop. No, we can pull down strongholds. We pull down strongholds in our life. But there's a war. The devil is waging his last warfare. And he knows this is his last. And he's saying, if the prophecy is still about God accomplishing the purposes of God, I'm going to bring a reproach upon that word. And I want you to listen closely to what I'm about to say. I've received this clearly from the throne of God. This past week, about 300 couples have already been married illegally. It's against the law in California to have homosexuals, lesbians wed one to another. It's against the law. But the judges there are bypassing the law. They're lining up. They're coming from all the United States to be married. It's not legal yet, but it's heading toward legality. It's going to be put in law eventually. You can mark it down. And let me tell you what it is. And listen closely. You see, he has to come against the word. He has to come against the word because this is where the authority is. Not only the Christian, but the moral standards of our nation. And he has to debunk this word. He has to mock it. He has to cause in the human mindset to look at this as it's just another book, just fantasy. We think of the virgin birth. We hear about the bride of Christ. And he said, if the word says that the church is a type of the bride of Christ, if that's the bride of Christ, that represents male and female. Mary represents a female who is giving birth, a virgin giving supernatural birth by the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to make that a fantasy. I'm going to rob. I'm going to do everything I can to come against the word. Folks, it's not about pornography. It's not about those things. It's not about homosexuality itself. It's his attack against the authority of God's word. So he will make the type of Christ, the type of Christ, the Christ in his church, his bride. Here comes the bride of Christ. Now, in California, they call it applicant. You're an applicant. It doesn't say male or female. And I don't know what they say when they stand before the altar. Will you receive this applicant as your applicant? I don't know what they're going to do with it. But I'll tell you, the devil's behind this and what he's saying. I'm going to mock the word of God. This is a type of the church. I'm going to make it a type of my church. It's a satanic attack, one of the most subtle attacks the world has ever witnessed. Because he's coming against this word prophesied by Isaiah. And Satan says, I will establish a link in every best and need the holiest of houses and homes. And little by little, one dose at a time, I'll make them immune to the cursing, the idolatry, the filth. And I will seep it into their spirits and into their souls so that they will no longer believe in the authority of the word of God. And Satan says, I will take over the media. I will take over the internet. I'll take over television. I'll take over the media, the print media. And I will keep bombarding until I can desensitize the spirits and the minds of God's people. And that's exactly what we see happening in the nation and around the world, the desensitizing, so that people, now Christians, can go to a movie and there'll be a Christian or two walk out because God's name's been cursed. And they get up and walk out because they're sensitive. That's my God, that's my Christ that you're mocking. I'm not going to pay any money for you to mock my Christ. And they walk out. But there are other Christians sitting there saying, why did you walk out? Well, didn't you hear? Well, no, I didn't hear. Because they've been desensitized. They don't even hear it anymore. And far more dangerous than all of this, as he's come forth in the past 15, 20 years with his own church. You see, the devil knows that the majority of American people still are decent people. And he knows that there are going to be those who have been trained right and raised right, and they're not going to fall for pornography, and they're going to despise. And when at the Super Bowl, I read in the newspaper that when there was an immoral happening display there, that the network received 250,000 calls in an hour. And the not only the network, but all over the nation, a phony kind of crying out for righteousness. When they went and sucked their beer and went to the bars and got drunk. But you see, the devil knows that the majority of people, Christian or non-Christian, will not fall for that. And so he says, I've got to get to them somehow. And so what he did, he has invented his own kind of church that was prophesied in the scripture. In the last days, reading from 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. In the last days, there'll be lovers of pleasure, and they will go for a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he's not going to do it in a little way, but in a big way, not with little churches, but with big churches, mega churches, with thousands in attendance, not hundreds, with a form of godliness. There will be bright young pastors who have new concepts of raising up the church that has nothing to do with weeping or waiting on God or laying hands for the Holy Ghost to come and bring heaven down for revelation. There'll be crowds, but not the moving of the Holy Spirit. Churches having no power, because you see, the Holy Ghost is the power of God manifested. Now, folks, I'm not indicting all mega churches. This is a mega church. Not at all. And I have heard and I receive in my mail letters from people who attend some of these, a few of the seeker-friendly churches, I call them sinner-friendly churches, and there are some that are really preaching the Word of God. There's a man of God there really preaching repentance. He's a broken-hearted man, and God is blessing him. And I'm not indicting that at all, but I'm warning young pastors. Anyone who would hear this tape, I warn you in the name of the Lord, take it from a gray-haired warrior. Hear me, please. What is happening now is a deception. It's a deception out of hell for Satan to try to reach those who will not be taken by pornography and some of these other things. It's going to be good people that do not know the Lord, good people. But folks, mixed in with that, the Apostle Paul talks about those who are going to endorse this new kind of church. He said they're going to be lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But he says these are going to be those who have a form of godliness, denying the power to deliver them. Now, folks, these kind of people, these are lost, and they come to this church. They come. There are some in here, perhaps, that fit this description, this very description of what's happening to society in the last days. But you see, if they come here to Times Square Church, they're not going to be comforted in their sins. They're going to face a convicting message, anointed of the Holy Ghost. They're not going to be judged here publicly for their sins. They may be gay, they may be heady, they may be high-minded, but they're going to hear a clear word, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and forsake your sins. And folks, I'm telling you, if there is not a bearing of the soul, if the sword of the Word of God is not there piercing to the marrow of the bone, I'm telling you, if there is not a cry for repentance, if there's not conviction until sinners cry out, I'm a sinner, what must I do to be saved? If there is no bowing before a bloody cross, if there's no hell, if there's no hell preached, if there's no fear of God preached, then it's a deception. It's not God's church. If it is God's church, He will have a broken-hearted people. He will have a people fasting and praying. He will have a people crying out against the defilements of the society without trying to bring reproach on the sinner. We're not trying to bring reproach on pastors or sinners. But I see that the devil comes as he did in the garden, and they call it eating the apple. But see, he's brought out his last big red apple, and I see many pastors biting that apple. And that apple is simply this. You can have the crowds. You can have this, but do it my... The devil doesn't say do it my way, but he brings a plan. Don't offend the traitor. Don't defend those without natural affection or false accusers. Don't offend them. My Bible says the cross of Jesus Christ is an offense. It is an offense. He is the very rock of offense, the Bible says. If I have sin in my heart, I want to be offended by the Word of God. I want to be convicted by the Word of God, because that's the greatest message of love and grace possible. That is not legalism. That is grace. The loving God trying to save men from the brink they're about to jump into. Glory to God. Well, let me get to the good part. What's God going to do about all of this satanic activity? We know Isaiah prophesied he's accomplished total victory right to the end. And as sure as he puts Satan to shame, he's going to throw him in prison. But how's God going to accomplish victory in our time? Now listen closely. I have God's heart. I know what he's going to do. And every praying man knows what he's going to do. When Satan infiltrates and controls a culture, God always raises up a counterculture who go the opposite direction, who march to a different drumbeat, who are going this way while all society is going this way. He raises up a counterculture and he lightens them with the light. He gives such light because of the decision they make that they become light in the darkness. So they're not cursing the darkness, but they're bringing forth the light. You see it in Babylon portrayed. Babylon represents every nation, peoples who are under Satan's control. But just in the years prior to God's judgment on Babylon, he raises up Daniel and the Hebrew children. And he raises up a small remnant. And they decide to become a counterculture. Counter means opposite. Absolutely opposite to the culture. Culture represents the arts, the sciences, the lifestyle, the moral values of any society. And this is counterculture. And God has done that. He did it. Noah was counterculture. You see it all through the Bible. God would raise men up that would not touch the defilements, would not touch the things of this world, and God made them lights in the darkness. God would not judge Babylon until first he turned on the lights. Scripture says Daniel... He's speaking of Daniel and his three Hebrew children friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, made up their minds that they would not be defiled with the king's choice food. So they sought permission that they might not defile themselves. You see, this is God giving light before judgment. Now hear me, please. We are on the brink of judgment now in the United States and around the world. What happens to America is going to affect the whole world, the economy and everything else. Folks, I don't even like to turn the radio on anymore and listen to news. I hate to pick up the newspaper even, such filth and such degradation. But you see, in the midst of all of this, God raises up Daniels. He raises up Hebrew children. He raises up those who said, we will not defile ourselves with the things of this world. We will not touch it. We will not taste it. And folks, the Bible said they set their minds. Don't tell me a Christian who's full of the Holy Ghost doesn't have the power and the will to obey God and walk away from the things of this world. You have the power within you because you have a sanctified will. You're full of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, every covenant promise is possible to you. You can't tell me that somebody that is studying for or working on the Olympics and they work 8 and 10 hours a day to win the prize and to do it for months and to do it for years. You can't tell me that they have the will. They don't even know Christ and they don't have a will. We have a sanctified will. There's no evidence of here of any other thing in these disciples full of the Spirit of God saying, the lights around us are going out. God's people were in captivity and everywhere. The lights were going out. They were being assimilated into the Babylonian culture. And there were only a few, and they said, we will be lights. We will not go this way if it cost our lives. We will shine in this generation. We will not be a part of it. And they were mocked and ridiculed, and they said, well, you won't be as educated. You'll be left out of the loop. But after the period of time, they came forth with more intelligence, because you see, when you make a decision like the children of Israel, I will not defile myself with the things of this world. I will not be a part of this American culture. I'm going to have a Holy Ghost culture, and I will not walk the ways of the world. You have the power to turn off that TV set. You have power over the movies that you watch. But folks, it's more than that. It's saying, I want to be a light in this darkened age. I want to be burning with fire. I want to get closer to Jesus. And God has a counterculture being raised up now all over the world. I meet young preachers everywhere I go. First time, Gary and I will compare notes. He's out talking to all these young pastors. They gather around him like bees to the nest. I guess I'm too old for him. I don't know, but Gary's more their age, and they go there, and he comes back and says, you can't believe what I'm hearing. And we're getting it on our emails now from all over the world. Those that have been to our meetings and go home changed. These young pastors want nothing to do with hype. They're not looking to build some great monument. They are so hungry for God. And folks, what you hear from them, I get letters and I get tapes. I can't believe what I'm hearing. It's such pure revelation. Because you see, when Daniel and his three Hebrew children took a stand to become counterculture, God opened their eyes, gave them wisdom. And God makes a way. He gives his oracles. He gives his oracles to those who separate themselves from the world. Those who make up their mind that live or die, I'm going to be militant for Jesus Christ. Because when the king needed advice of a dream, they call for Daniel. When God wants the whole world to get one final witness, and the wicked king raises up a golden idol, the three Hebrew children take a stand, live or die. We are the Lord's. Throw us in. We know God's able, but if not, we'll die. Counterculture. And when they came out without the touch of smoke on them, he sends out a command that the whole world honor the God of Daniel and the three Hebrew children. What influence, what power, how they affected their society simply by denying the culture and said, I'm going to have no part of it. Oh, folks, these young preachers that I'm meeting, the young people, even in this church, they're not becoming couch potatoes in front of a TV set. This past few weeks, I've talked to some Christian young people, and they said, we don't even look at it anymore. We don't want it. And they're asking, any good books you can recommend that'll draw me closer to Jesus? I'm struggling to bring out books. They're so hungry. They're sucking in. They're drinking in everything that they can find about Jesus, folks. It's all over the world. I got a note, or read a note the other day of pastors in cities and towns and even smallest towns. Pastors for the first time are meeting and having prayer meetings over the condition of their towns and cities and villages. And no one's organizing it. There's no organization behind it. It's just a work of the Holy Spirit. It's happening right here. Pastor Carter and his team has started a prayer meeting for ministers, and some 25, 30 are gathering already, and the Spirit of the Lord is moving in a precious way among them. And it's happening all over the United States because he's turning on the lights. Before judgment comes, the lights have to go on. There has to be a witness, and it's happening, and that witness is in the hands of those who are going to be separate as unto the Lord. The people who walked in darkness have seen what? that ye may be blameless and sincere, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation, among whom you shine as what? Among a wicked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights. Because you said, that's enough. You've looked at every weakness and compromise in your heart. You said, Holy Ghost, you come now with the power. You mortify everything in my life that is unlike Christ. I'm not going the way of the world. I don't care what it costs. I don't care how they mock, because I know how this ends. God's word will prevail. It has prevailed. God's going to accomplish his purpose. And folks, one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. And you and I, who know him and love him, you and I are part of that counter culture. We're going to be ascending to heaven, and we're going to cry as one mighty voice, mission accomplished. It is finished. Because you see, the moment you step out as the Hebrew children and you join this movement that's all over the world, this countercultural movement, and I see it in the parishes too, and in the congregations everywhere. I see it all over the world. It amazes me. We've never had so many people. We have to open up our pastors' conferences to the public now, everywhere. And we can't even seat the people. And young people who have never heard my name, don't know anything about me or Gary, they come rushing and they run to Christ. And they're coming by the thousands. They saw it in Nigeria and Jamaica, and it's happening all over the world, folks. The lights are going on because judgment is at the door and Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. And just as he ascended into heaven, I'm going to be caught up to meet him in the air. All I want anymore. I'm in Florida, but I haven't even been to the beach. I don't go to the beach. I got a little room where I'm waiting on God for oracles. We don't go around the world preaching the same sermons, same messages, something we preached before. Has to come a fresh word. And God is bringing a word to this church. And I know one thing, if I'm a praying man, and these are praying men, and every praying man that steps in this pulpit will preach the same message, God will bring the same word over and over again until we get it. So will you obey him in the spirit? Will you stand with me, please? What a mighty God we serve. Do you know what else Isaiah prophesied? Zion's going to rise, and their children and their grandchildren are going to come in with them. And that is God's mission. Jesus was sent on that mission. The word that went out of his mouth was Christ, who was formed by his own words. And he sent him forth. And it's not going to return void. You're not going to go back to heaven leaving confusion. You're going to leave with peace, being let out with peace. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that it is finished. God's word has prevailed. You're the victor. You've led captivity captive. You've taken them, Lord, into your own hands. And we're your captives now, Lord. We are your servants. And we're willing, O Lord, to stand up in this dark age. Lord, the lights are coming out from under the bushel baskets. The lights are coming out from under the beds now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Not just in Times Square Church. Lord, Lord, it's happened. Don't pass us by, Lord. We're seeing it happen everywhere. Don't let us be passed by. That's my prayer, God. Don't bypass Times Square Church. Let us be in the middle of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I invite you to join the culture, the counterculture. The Bible said these men stirred their hearts to seek after God. They set their hearts. They made up their minds to separate themselves from the world. Be ye separate and clean, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you as my son or my daughter. That's not a threat. That's an invitation of love. Lord, we thank you for your spirit that is in this church. We thank you for the faith that's rising. The tide of faith is rising. Lord, we sense it behind us and around us and before us and in the overflow rooms. We sense, Lord, that you are speaking from heaven. And you're preparing us, Lord. Judgment, yes, is at the door. Lord, this next election is going to decide the fate of the United States. It's going to decide the fate. Because, Lord, if there is a man that goes into the White House, whoever he may be, whatever may happen, if they're going to put more judges on the Supreme Court that are liberal and backslidden, Lord, if they put in circuit court judges all over this nation, then, Lord, certainly we see hell's gate opening and everything in hell spewing out. But, oh, God, in that day, hallelujah, we're going to be shining. There's a light that the devil can't put out. They can't put it out. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God for the light. The light. Lord, turn my light on. Turn my light on, God. Put fire in my soul. Glory be to God. Put fire in our souls. I just have to say this and then I close. Look at it. God starts first by dealing with defilement. Get all the defilement out. Then I'll give you revelation. And then I'll call upon you and I'll give you the oracles. The oracles of God, the wisdom, the knowledge of God, and the knowing of the times comes to the man first, who set his mind to be removed from all the defilements of the flesh. Glory be to God. Very simple. I'm going to give an invitation. I want everyone here that God is speaking to about this being desensitized. You can be desensitized right in front of your TV set. I'm not even going to tell you and scream at you like I used to, go get rid of it. You should, but I mean, I'm going to say that. Well, I already said it, but not, I'm going to say it in a different... in a different spirit is what I mean. And you can be desensitized. I went down to Florida, and I say this as a confession. In the first week, I was so tired. I was sick. I had just come through pneumonia. And I didn't feel like praying or reading. I did pray, and I did read, but I was so weary and weak. And they have a TV set in that rented apartment by the beach. And I sat there for a week, and I watched. I just sat there. I didn't watch anything filthy, but just looking at news and looking at History Channel and Discovery Channel, I just surfing through it, I saw filth I couldn't believe. And after about a week of that, God said, David, get back in that room. Get on your knees. And shut it off before you defile yourself. Shut it off. If you do that, I'll give you the word. You're going to have to go preach at Times Square Church. You better be on fire. Because these guys are burning so hot. I don't want to come in here cold. But I was being desensitized.
George Bush will clean up the away.
Amen. I I want to get back to my invitation. Listen close. If you acknowledge, Pastor Dave, I recognize the danger that I'm in. Maybe you're not desensitized, but it doesn't seem to me, the picture seems wrong if you are praying and you're fasting. You're called to fast and you begin to fast and pray. Whatever the fast is about, you are in agreement, you're fasting. You say, well, I'm fasting and I've prayed, I need to relax a bit. And then you go, turn on the internet, or you turn on something, and then it comes, that desensitizing spirit again. To me, that picture's wrong. It doesn't fit the scripture. And I'm telling you, the fast will not work. It won't work. We're still of eyes that we don't want the Holy, we're not allowing the Holy Ghost to sanctify. He does the work. All he asks is the cry in your heart. Give me clean eyes, no part dark. Then the Holy Ghost comes by covenant. And what you don't have the power or authority to do, he gives you that wonderful power and authority. And he gives the want to. And he gives you what I call the Holy Ghost measurables. Oh, what an act of love it is when he makes you so miserable you have to run to the closet. And then you say, thank you, Jesus. If you've come close to that, or there's something God's dealing with you in his grace and his love, I invite you to come here. And if you say, Brother Dave, I want to be a part of that movement. I want to be countercultural. I don't want to be a part of this and take my stand. I invite you to come. Lord, we worship you now. You're here in this service, Holy Spirit, to do what only you can do. Our words are insufficient. Holy Spirit, come now mightily upon us. We honor you, Lord. We magnify the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name that's never lost its power. Transform us now. Lord, make us a part of that counterculture you're raising up. You're going to counter this, Lord, with a holy people walking in covenant with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for abiding in this temple. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those that came forward, congregation everywhere, even in the annex, will you pray this prayer with me right out loud? Dear Lord Jesus, blessed Christ of Calvary, you've made my body the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you said you abide in this temple. Oh God, purge this temple, cleanse this temple, that all my offerings to you will be acceptable. My singing and my praising, my fasting and my intercession will all be received. And it will accomplish the purposes of God. And oh Holy Spirit, thank you for the cleansing. Thank you for the moving of your Spirit. Thank you for touching my heart. Fill me now with the fire. Make me a light wherever I go, on my job and in my home, on the subways. Shine through me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now give him thanks. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. I want to enlist you this morning in the countercultural revolution. It's happening all over the world. If you want to join this, you said, I'm going to set my mind. I'm going to stir my heart through the power of the Holy Ghost to seek the power of God, to have nothing to do with anything that defiles anything of this world. Raise your hand. Say, By faith, I join the counter culture revolution. Glory to God. What a mighty thing God is doing on the face of the earth. Let's clap our hands and give him praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise you. Hallelujah.